Get started today, and as always, we're going to open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful, ever faithful, ever faithful, that promise. That's why your praise will ever be on our lips, Lord God. Because you are ever faithful to us. Lord God, if we had 1,000 tongues, we could not praise you enough. We could not thank you enough, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that you continue, oh, Lord, to be with us. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come. We understand if your Holy Spirit doesn't come, we might as well go home, Lord God. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to come and help us and penetrate into our hearts and into our minds. Oh, Lord, all over the Sunday school, all over this house of God, Lord God, all over Pueblo, all over Colorado, all over this nation, Lord God, and all over the world, Lord God. Oh, Lord, let your Holy Spirit move. Lord God, we pray thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And we praise you and we thank you. Lord, we pray that the word that we get this morning, we would receive it, we would digest it, and it will become a part of who we are. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, few announcements. I'm so happy to have my family here today.
We are here.
My Aunt Barbara, I'm calling her Aunt Barbara, my mom and my sister, and yes, that is Natalie's mom. They all know Natalie, so yes, that's Natalie's mom.
We want to keep her here.
She's been buying Natalie school clothes, because this is Natalie's last Sunday with us, guys, until next year. So anyway, we're so glad to have them here today. We're also happy to have our guest. Tell me your name. Estelle visiting us from Rhode Island. So we're happy, you know, happy for Estelle being here. So we have an international a class today. I'm not international. It's within the country. So we just have many states here. We have Georgia. We have Rhode Island. Yeah, it's not international. So we're starting our new lesson again, another session, session 5. And again, our book is Battle Plan for Prayer. Does anybody have a copy of the book? For some reason, I have mine on my desk and forget to pick it up. Here, Virginia's always got it. This is our book, Battle Plan for Prayer, if you want to get a copy. You haven't got a copy yet. And again, this is the companion book to the War Room series that we just finished. Well, actually, it's been months now. So today we're in session 5, and the session is What Is and Isn't Prayer is the name of our lesson today. We just finished up last week. We were talking about, let me go back and see. Last week we were talking about the purpose of prayer. Last week we were talking about the ultimate purpose of prayer, and that prayer was all about God's glory. When you're praying, that's where your mindset needs to be, is on, does it bring God glory? That's why you're praying. That's the purpose of prayer. And we can be comfortable in that, because anything that brings God glory is going to be good for us. So we always want to pray along those lines. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, and let your glory be in whatever I'm praying. You know, so that is the ultimate purpose of prayer. We talked about last week, is to bring God glory. And then as we go into session 5, the name of the lesson is What Is and Isn't Prayer. And boy, this is really a powerful lesson, because sometimes we make so many assumptions when it comes to prayer. We assume that we know what it is. But boy, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I'm learning a lot. Just learning what prayer is and isn't. When we learn what prayer is, boy, our prayers can be more effective. And that's why this study is so good and so important. And our key scripture comes from Psalm 69:13, and it says, as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. You know, and there's a lot in that verse. My prayer is to you. It's not to anybody else. It's not for anybody else. It is to God, and is for his glory, as we talked about. So the first part on your lesson, if you didn't get a handout, handouts are right at the door. The first part of the lesson says, prayer is not about prayer. Boy, that's how the chapter opened. Boy, that just blew me away right there. Yeah. Prayer is not about prayer, just like a cell phone is not about a cell phone. And I love that analogy that they made about that. A phone's primary purpose is to connect us in relation. I mean, a phone's primary purpose is to connect us in relationship. That's what a phone's primary purpose is, and that's from our book, page 32. Similarly, prayer's primary purpose is to connect us with God and to grow our relationship with Him. And so that's what we want to talk about, you know, a little bit. We're going to really hit on our relationship. This is beyond asking. This is not about asking for the stuff and the things and the gifts and the presence we want from God. This is goes beyond that. We're talking about relationship with God. If you're missing this vitally important aspect of prayer, you will miss much of the beauty of God in your life, folks. I'm telling you, if you want to go beyond just prayer being just, I just need to get something from God, and that's the only reason why I'm here. You want to go into relationship because there's such beauty in having that relationship with God. The next point in your lesson says, to speak to the omniscient, omnipotent God is a privilege and honor. Amen, isn't it? But so often we take this privilege for granted and do not really access it to the point of true connection with God. We say words to God, but our hearts are far from Him. Oh my goodness. Isaiah the prophet said this. He said, then the Lord said, because this nation approaches me only with their words and honors me only with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me is a tradition that is learned by rote without any regard for its meaning. And that's Isaiah 29:13 in the Amplified. So this says a lot. This says a lot. You know what? When you read this verse, you can see how God's desire and God's sensitivity to true relationships. Sometimes we don't think about how sensitive God is to true relationship. I mean, we're like that. You know, when we're interacting with our friends and our relatives, we're sensitive about true relationship versus just, you know, going through the motions and, oh, you just want something. Oh, you're just doing it because, you know, someone told you to do it. You know, we're sensitive to that. And God is very sensitive to true relationship with Him. We can bring our money. We can bring our time. We can bring our singing. We can bring our talents to Him. But He is always looking and searching for our hearts. Isn't that something? That's the way He is. He's looking for our hearts. And He's not just looking, you know, for our stuff. He doesn't even want our stuff. Remember we were talking about that a few weeks ago. You know, you just bring in your offering. Oh, bring your, he said, I don't even want your offering. You know, because that's something you're bringing, giving. You think, I'm giving something up to God. God said, I don't even want what you have. Go back first and get it right with your brother.
Amen.
Because see, that speaks of relationship with Him. Remember we talked about the horizontal relationship is related to the vertical. Mm-hmm. He says, I don't even want it until you get it right, because that speaks of your relationship with me. If you got stuff going on this way, then how can you have things going on this way? So God does not want your stuff. He's not looking for your gifts, and He's not looking for your talents. He gave those to you. Yes, He wants you to express them, but more than anything, God wants your heart, folks. God wants your heart. And I love these lessons because they're to Christians. You know, I love teaching Christians. I love talking. I love talking to you people. Because you Christians are a mess. And I love talking to you Christians, you know. Because this, you know, as I said, most of the Bible is written to believers. You know, we think, oh, it's for the world. No, the world is written to us. And we have to look at this, and Jesus talked about this so many times. So again, this, as the prophet Isaiah just hit the nail on the head, and he was saying what God was saying to him, that you come and you do all this stuff, but your hearts are so far from me. The next point in your lesson says, Jesus repeated these words when he spoke to the Pharisees in Matthew 15:8, as they came to him complaining about his disciples keeping religious rules and missing the point of building relationship with Christ, the Messiah, who was with them in the flesh at that time. You know, I mean, just missing the point. Oh, and Christians, I think we're notorious for missing the point. We're so caught up in our rules and our regulations that we sometimes miss the point. Are we guilty of such an attitude? Is Christ trying to work something in our hearts to draw us closer to Him, but we're so focused on appearances, on other things that make us look religious? You know, what are you focused on? You know, when you come to church, what is your focus? when you're ministering to people, what is your focus? You know, are you focused on Christ and relationships? Are you focused on everything else, what people have on, what they're wearing? Does your life and your work life, does your work for him exceed your prayer time with him? Does your work with him exceed your relationship with him? That's a good question. Mm-hmm. You know, we work, we can do all, you know, I'm guilty of it too. Just always busy, just doing. But what about your relationship with him? What is that about? Is the prayer life this big and the work life this big? You know, again, you know, I mean, yes, it, you know, we love God and we do things for him because we love him. But boy, if you're neglecting that prayer time, then you're missing relationship with him. Okay, and that happens to a lot of people in church, especially, you know, leaders, you know, teacher, the fivefold ministry gift people. Boy, we got to really watch out, teachers, pastors, evangelists, because you get so busy doing things for God that you miss the relationship, that prayer time with God, because that's what's going to keep you, and that's what God wants more than anything. And I have found out just from watching the history of the church, even in the United States, you see how God, he does not hold back even in exposing us to the world. I mean, if you guys remember the days back, those just a couple of decades ago with the PTL club and all the things that happened. And I used to say to myself, God, why did you let that happen? Why couldn't you cover them? Why couldn't you let it be exposed? I think God just loved them enough to let it all come out. I love them more than what they're doing for me. And God loves you more than what you're doing for him. So you just need to keep that in that file, that God loves me more than what I'm doing for him. And if he sees you're pulling away and you're pulling away because you're doing so much, oh, folks, don't you know he will enter in because he wants your heart. He wants your relationship. And so we got to think about that. Lord, I don't want to be so busy that I'm not spending the time. I'm not building the relationship. You know, again, we're talking about what prayer is and what it isn't. And that relationship piece is what we're really focused on here. So again, we just want to really understand and hear the heart of God on this. The next point of your lesson says, there are activities you can undertake that make you look, that may look and feel like prayer, but they're not really prayer if God is not truly engaged. And this is from the book. They may look like prayer, they may feel like prayer, but it's not really prayer if God is not truly engaged. Let's look at some of the issues involved in ritualistic prayer. You know, just going through the motions of prayer. Let's see some of the issues. First of all, we talk about lack of true engagement. Maybe the reason so many find prayer to be a chore instead of a delight, you know, and I'll be honest, when I first started praying, it was a chore. Okay, let me get up and do my morning devotion. Oh, okay, let's pray. We're going to eat, so let's pray, you know. Oh, nighttime. Okay, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord, my soul to keep. If I die before, you know. Because we're just going through the motions. We're just going through the motions. And, you know, and it seems like a chore instead of a delight to talk to the Almighty, because there's a lack of true engagement there. Your lesson says they are not truly engaging with the Almighty. They are not entering into his presence when they pray, but simply going through the motions of prayer, simply saying words without engaging their heart. Again, they serve with their mouths, but their hearts are far from him. You know, and you have to ask yourself a question. As I was preparing this lesson yesterday, the Holy Spirit just brought this question to me. Is your prayer time a monologue instead of a dialogue? Oh, man. I'm like, boy, so many times it's just a monologue. Lord, I just thank you for, oh, Lord, we just thank you. Blah, 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 blah. And Lord, bless this one and bless it and do this and do that and blah, 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 blah. Amen. And it was a monologue, you know, not a dialogue, going back and forth. Lord, oh, Lord, I just read this scripture. Lord, Holy Spirit, open this word to me. How does it apply to my life, Lord? And the Holy Spirit, oh, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Mm-hmm. If you listen, if you give him time, is your prayer life a monologue or a dialogue? Do you talk to God, but there's no listening to God? You talk to God, but there's no listening to God. You have learned the process of prayer, but now it's time to go deeper into the relationship of prayer, to truly engage with God. And folks, don't feel bad if that's where you are, because we all go through that stage. You know, when we're little, when we're kids, we're growing up learning how to pray. Often, yeah, we go through that phase of just talking to God, you know, and just going about our business. But as we're going deeper, and that's what this class is about, guys, going deeper, then we want to sit and we want to meditate and be quiet in His presence and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to your spirit, you know, and He'll tell you things and some things that, boy, you didn't even bring up, and the Holy Spirit will bring it up about things and relationships. And, oh, boy, He brings you clarity of thought and how to deal with things, you know. So the Holy Spirit is just so good. As I said, if you're missing the relationship piece, you're missing so much beauty in that. So we want to talk about, you know, is there a true engagement with God when you pray, or is it just a chore? You know, because if, when there's true engagement, man, you love it and you can't wait to get back to it. And you start talking to Him throughout the day because you don't want to stop the engagement at any point. I understand that scripture. We're understanding that scripture more and more. Pray without ceasing. We're understanding it more and more. As I said, there was a time I didn't understand that. How can you pray without ceasing? You have things to do. You got to cook. You got to do this. You got to go to work. But now I get it. I get it. He says that He wants that continual dialogue and conduit into your heart constantly. If you're at work, oh boy, someone's approaching you, the Holy Spirit can speak, boom, do this. You know, and you have that constant dialogue going with the Holy Spirit. So again, we're just learning that. So that lack of true engagement, we want to deal with that. Next is heart focus. To focus your heart in prayer takes a deliberate act of your will. I'm going to say that again. To focus your heart in prayer takes a deliberate act of your will. It takes being totally exposed before God, realizing that He sees all that you are, but you come anyway. I love that. He sees it. He sees it all. He knows what you did. He knows what you just said. He knows you're not hiding anything from Him, but you come anyways. Oh, man, I love that. I mean, if you can imagine a child. Daddy knows what you did. Daddy knows what you did, but you coming home anyway. So I'm coming home, you know. And that's the way our Father is. He wants you to come anyway, to ask for His forgiveness, His mercy, and His grace, and His help in your life. Even after you've messed up, ask Him for help. Lord, I just jumped out there and did this, and now I'm in a mess. Oh, but you come anyways. God is saying, come anyways. Come on, let's talk about this. Let's reason together. Let's talk this out, as the word says. You understand the sacredness of coming before Him and that He is holy, but you come anyways. Again, you understand He's sacred. You understand He's holy. See, this is one of some of the reasons people don't come. They're like, He's holy and I'm so dirty. And boy, what I just did and what I just said, those are lies from Satan. Come anyways, folks. Come anyways. I don't care how dirty and what you just did, come anyways. You know, you just got mad and told somebody off. Might have even slapped somebody. Come anyways. Yeah. Come anyways. And you know, and you got to get past what people think and what people might say. I can't believe you're going to church after what you... Don't listen. Come anyways. Come anyways. He wants you to come. Oh, boy, your lesson says, then as you believe in His grace to cover you, remember we did a whole lesson on grace, and decide in your heart to humble yourself, you pray, you ask, you listen, and you receive from the Almighty. Come anyways, and all of these things. You got to come with humility, and we're going to hit on that in a little bit. Through the blood of Christ, your lesson says, you make the connection. The heart focus takes effort. It takes effort because the enemy is going to be bombarding you with all kind of lies so you don't engage your heart. Because see, when you engage your heart, you're exposing yourself now. You're exposing yourself before Jesus. You're saying, yeah, see, this is me. This is what I think. This is what I've done. Yeah, I know you already knew it, but now I'm acknowledging that you see it. And I'm coming before you anyways, Lord, to humble myself and to pray and to ask and to listen and to receive from you. So the heart focus takes effort. You got to rebuke the devil. You got to go on in. You know, I have to tell the devil, I just tell the devil, shut up. Just shut up, devil. Just shut up. Just shut up. I'm going. I'm talking to my Father now. Just shut up. Because I'm talking to my Father. In the name of Jesus, shut up and he'll really come. It's not passive. It's deliberate. And it's willful. The heart focus is willful. You know, you just have to do it. You have to do it. But I'm telling you, that heart focus, more than anything, I find that it just brings the presence of the Lord. We got a whole section in this lesson on the presence. We're going to spend next Sunday, we're going to be on the presence. You know, and that heart focus just, whew, the presence of God. There's this book I have, I believe it's The Praying Christian, The Kneeling Christian. And it talks about this guy. They used to call him Praying Hyde. He was back in England, and this man was so powerful in his prayer life. They said he could walk in a room and he would drop on his knees. And I mean, within seconds, I mean, the power of God would come in so strong because he had practiced heart focus. And he could do it in seconds. He would drop and he was immediately in the presence of God. And he said, and it was so strong and so powerful, you could sense and feel the presence of God in the room because of this man and how powerful he was when it came to his prayer life. Come on in, ladies. You can just sit up here. How powerful it his prayer life was. And that's what, boy, when I read that, I said, boy, I want that. Boy, I'd love to have that kind of relationship with God that, you know, when you have relationship, you see what he was doing is that this man knew how to come to the king, come past everybody and right behind the veil into the Holy Holies. Wow. I mean, I'm like, I mean, you can't, I mean, really, some of us are, I'm getting ahead of the lesson. Some of us are still hanging out in the outer court when you have the privilege that the veil was ripped in two and you can come right into the presence immediately. Oh, man, this is the presence of the king. Oh, my goodness. And we just, oh, man. Anyway, I'm getting ahead. Let me just back up a little bit. So the heart focus, it's not passive. It's deliberate and it's willful. Jesus describes this heart focus, and it should say when coming before God, in his parable in Luke 18, 10 through 14. The prayer of the Pharisee versus the tax collector. Arrogance of heart versus humility of heart is what you were seeing in that parable. One of those hearts was far from God, and one whose heart was focused on who God is and his standing before him, but came anyways. Hallelujah. See, it was just, oh my goodness. And you heard what Jesus said. Jesus said, which one left redeemed? Or, you know, it was the one, the tax collector, that came with humility of heart. The tax collector was not focused on himself, but focused on who God is. See, when you come in, you come before God, it's not about you. You know, anyways, you know, because that's why we don't come, because we're thinking about me and what I did, and I just can't come because it's not about you anyways. You come in before the Almighty God who washes away all sin. It's not about what you have done. It's about what he has done. So that's how you want to come. So the prideful heart is focused on itself when it comes in prayer, but the humble heart is focused on God when it comes. Oh, the humble heart knows that he or she has nothing to bring before God, but seeks the undeserved attention of the Almighty. See, the humble heart, I don't even deserve, like the tax collector. I don't even need to be up here praying. I know, but I'm coming. Anyways. Oh, hallelujah. I want that phrase to just be in your mind. I'm coming anyways, Lord. I had to get over that because you know, how we do something wrong and you feel like, oh, I got to do a season of penance. I can't even talk to God for a while. And the enemy tells you that. Mm-hmm. How dare you pray? You after what you just did, you're praying? Oh, lies. Come anyways. Get it straight immediately. Don't spend any time sulking and bathing in guilt when Jesus took it all to the cross, folks. Mm-hmm. So you come anyways with a humble heart. you know, ready to repent. Lord, I did it. Lord, I just, Lord, yes, my mouth just slipped. Lord Jesus, you know, they were pushing my buttons all morning, Lord, and I did good until 10:15. And whoop, there it is. Oh boy, and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, just let me say this one thing. Just let me say this one thing, Holy Spirit. Just let me say this one thing, Holy Spirit, and I'll get back in line. But whoa, how I'm learning how to just obey the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm gonna be quiet. I'm gonna be quiet. And boy, so many times I'm so glad I was quiet. I'm so glad. I said, Lord, I'm so glad I was quiet. I did not understand the entire situation. Yeah. And now I'm open. I'm available to minister to that person because I didn't open my mouth and blurt out from my flesh what I wanted to say to them. So we talk about some of the things. And then finally, we want to talk about lack of true engagement, heart focus, and finally, the amenities or the benefits of prayer. Prayer, true prayer with connection with God has great rewards. It has great rewards, folks. And I'm not talking about just things. It's talk about relationship. Those with a solid prayer life know all too well the joy they receive as they come into the presence of God again and again. Folks, there's such a beautiful joy related to talking with God. David's prayer in Psalm 16 declares, "You will show me the paths of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And that's Psalm 16:11. In this one scripture, there is listed three amenities of prayer. Let's go through each one of them. Number one, it says direction and wisdom in life. And don't we need it every day? Confusion, being scattered in your mind, not knowing what to do, making foolish mistakes will lift off of you in God's presence. Do you get that? You know, if you're ever just confused, I don't know what to do. See, I need to leave. I don't even know what to say. You ever walk away from a situation like, you know what? I have nothing. You know, I have nothing. You know, and you just need to get before God. God brings clarity of thought to you on what to do. When you go into his presence, your lesson says, before you start the day and go into the day with his wisdom, when you go into his presence, you start the day with his wisdom, basically. This is what made David such a memorable and celebrated king. He had a prayer life. That's what made him so memorable. As I keep telling people to this day, his star dons the Israeli flag, because he was never forgotten as one of the greatest kings, or the greatest king Israel ever had, because he had a prayer life. His prayer life gave him clarity of thought when dealing with his enemies. He could hear God's direction, and he was obedient. That was a big day. David was obedient. Even when his emotions were high, he was obedient. He didn't kill Saul when he had the opportunity. Saul was coming at him and trying to kill him. And when David had the opportunity two times, he didn't let his emotions win over what God had probably told him in prayer. I just believe David was praying, and that's why he didn't kill Saul. He had learned, he had heard what God said concerning Saul being his anointed, and don't touch the anointed of God. And even when the anointed of God was coming after him to kill him, he still was obedient. Folks, we got to get this, because sometimes we think we feel justified in our emotions, and we act in our emotions, and we've got to learn that you are not justified in your emotions. If you find a scripture in the Bible that says you are justified in emotions, I want to see it, because God is saying you have to obey me. So I love that about David. He had a prayer life. He heard God. He obeyed God on a matter that brought respect to others, to his leadership. You know, because his mighty men were watching on, where they were looking on, and they saw this. Well, why aren't you going to kill him? Nope, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. You know, and I'm telling you, I mean, I believe it spoke volumes to them. It even spoke volumes to the son of Saul, Jonathan. I mean, he and David were friends. I mean, it spoke volumes. Jonathan loved David so much. I mean, he wasn't even worried about the throne, because he loved David and he knew that God was with David. And I believe it was because David heard God and was obedient even in the midst of his emotions. So it brought loyalty to his leadership. And that's what happens when you obey God. It brings loyalty to whatever you're leading. If you're a parent, you're a leader. Don't think you're, well, I don't, yes, you're leading something. And when you're obedient to God, when you have a prayer life and you're sensitive and everybody's saying, you should do this and you should do that and you should call them up and tell them this, this, and this. And you know, and you do, and I'm like, no, I got to hear God. I got to hear what God is saying. And God, I remember going through this one time and, you know, and all this, people were just attacking us, you know, at our center and you know, and, oh, you should tell them this and you should, I'm like, you know, and I just had to hear the Lord. And the Lord says, leave it alone. Be about your business. Be about the work I've called you to. Be about the assignment. I will take care of them. You be about the work. And I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I did because those same people came back years later. Can you come and teach a seminar? Can you come? You know, and that wouldn't have happened had I burned that bridge. You know, God, if you follow God, if you hear him, the amenities of prayer and the relationship with God is that your heart is open to him and he can speak to you. And that's what prayer is. And when God can speak to you and then you are obedient, because sometimes God will speak and we won't be obedient, but we want to be obedient to what he's saying. Even though your emotions are telling you everything else, your friends around you are telling you everything else. I'm telling you, take a point from King David. He obeyed God and he listened to the God, and it brought respect and respect to his leadership, loyal people by his side, even the son of the king that was trying to kill him. Boy, that is profound. But that was because of the way he carried his life. So again, this psalm says direction and wisdom in life. It gives you. Next, number two, it says fullness, full joy. So your lesson says not halfway, but fullness and complete joy envelops you in prayer. Oh, folks, if you're depressed, oh, and we all have been there, depressed and sad. I don't even want to get up today. I don't even want to even face the day. Oh, my God, that meeting is today. Oh, God, I got to go to court today. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, you get before God. And he will envelop you with his joy. See, joy is not based on circumstances, guys. So he envelops you with joy. Your lesson says, all the cares of this world melt in the presence of the Almighty. Amen. They melt. He is the Almighty. There's nothing in this world that is greater than he is. This sustaining benefit is attained in prayer. Oh, man, and this is, again, I'm quoting from Psalm 16. In your presence is fullness of joy, not halfway, full joy, brushing and sweeping and blowing out all that depression and that downheartedness. Joy brings endurance, because when you have joy, you can get up and go again. Amen. Hallelujah. Peace, it brings peace. You're not all stressed out when you're full of joy. And trust to the believer. Oh, boy, you have trust. Joy brings all of these things. I mean, you have the amenity of joy, and then joy has its amenities of endurance, peace, and trust in God. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 17:22, a happy heart is a good medicine, and a joyful mind causes healing. That's scripture. A joyful mind causes healing. I was like, yes, because that depression, it just goes. Because you're in the presence of God and that thing can't dwell. That was Proverbs 17:22. And this is in the Amplified. And it says, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Oh, my goodness. This is the Amplified. Yeah, it dries up the bones. I mean, not just the flesh. The bones aren't even dried up. So joy is not based on circumstances. It is based on the presence of God in your life. Joy goes beyond just being happy. Joy is based on the presence of God in your life. That's why it doesn't matter what's going on. If you need to be lifted up and be in joy, just go in the presence of God. And it's done. It's coming. You come out and you're all joyful. I mean, I've seen people do that after someone died. And, you know, and it was a close relative. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, you okay, you all right? You know, you're expecting that person to just crack any minute. Oh, they're, oh, I don't know if they're okay, you know. But this person was absolutely okay, because I knew this lady, she had a beautiful prayer life. And she said, the Lord already told me, her husband had died. She said, the Lord already told me months ahead. Lord, and I was just praying that he would come to the Lord. He would come to the Lord. And he came to the Lord. And he was taken at the end of that year. I mean, she had such a powerful prayer life with God. She said, but I know he got to know God before he left here. And so, I mean, she's walking around all happy. Like, okay. And I didn't see her. She didn't fall apart. She didn't break up, because the joy of the Lord was with her. You know, and she was so happy that her husband had made it into the presence of God. So again, there's direction and wisdom of life. There's fullness of joy. And then finally, pleasures forevermore. That's what the scripture says. God never runs out of pleasures for his children. You know, you may have seen, you may think you have it all, you've seen it all, you know, but God never runs out of pleasures for his children. He always has more blessings to give. His pleasures are not limited to the physical, but also come in the emotional and spiritual for you and your family as you enter his presence. Wow, isn't that wonderful? You are never going to get bored with God, okay? Like, oh yeah, I got that already, God. Oh yeah, you did that last year. You know, no, his pleasures forevermore, the scripture says. His pleasures forevermore. That means he's always got something new and fresh for you. Mm-hmm. David found the pleasures of comfort and peace in prayer, even when facing life and death situations. Mm-hmm. He wrote this, "For you will not abandon me to Sheol, the netherworld, the place of the dead, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay." And that's Psalm 16 and 10. Peace is a pleasure of God. Do you understand that? Peace is a pleasure. Isn't it pleasant to have peace? I mean, if you ever been stressed out, you ever been stressed out, and then when it's all over and that peace comes, peace is pleasant. It's pleasant. Boy, you can sit back, you can relax, you know, because then that's peace. And you can have that peace anytime. You can have that peace anytime. The woes of the world will never stop, but God can still give his children the pleasure of peace in prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, folks, I'm telling you, as I've said before, we can't pray away the book of Revelation, okay? What it said is coming to pass. It's coming to pass before our very eyes. Right. Yeah, we talked about those shootings, you know, two shootings in 2 days in the country. I'm like, oh my God. And then I thought about that scripture where Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. I mean, we're thinking about national wars, but no, people are warring against each other and just shooting each other, you know, killing each other. That's war. There are wars in families. There are wars in corporations. There's all kind of wars and discord going on all around us. I mean, just strife everywhere you look. There's just strife. People can't get along. People don't want to get along. People want to fight. You know, our young people in the gangs and, you know, just want to fight, just going around looking for somebody to hurt and to kill. War and rumors of war, wars in many places, Jesus said. So it fulfills the lesson, but it fulfills the word. But in the midst of all of that, God can give us the pleasure of peace. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Save, Lord Jesus. We're praying, Lord God. We're praying for the salvation of people. But even so, come, Lord. Prayer restores our hope in the future, because we have peace, and so we're restored. We have hope for tomorrow, because we can have peace in tomorrow. In prayer, we are reminded that he is with us and that he will never leave us and never forsake us. Hope is pleasant. That's another thing. Hope is another pleasure of God, is hope. Don't you love that? We have hope. You know, and our hope goes beyond this world. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, even so, come. We have that hope within us that he's coming, and he's coming to get us. We have the hope within us that if anything happens, he'll take us. We have the hope that he has our tomorrows. Oh, boy, and that is a pleasure of God, that we continually have the hope that he gives. Next on your lesson, it says, prayer at its heart is communicating with God. Reverently, openly, sincerely. And this is from our book. And I want you to really note those words, reverently. We respect God when we come before him. Openly. Don't try. Why are you hiding anything? He knows it anyway. He's just waiting for you to open up so we can deal with it, you and him. He said, come, let us reason together. Let us talk this out. But you're sitting up there pretending like, you know, you're, everybody knows all your business, but you're trying to put on airs. I mean, that's what you're doing with God. He knows your business, and you're still trying to put on airs. I'm like, come on, let's talk this out. I'll lend you. I'll give you what you need. I'll get what? I don't need anything. I'm fine. That's the way we are with God. You know, he says, come. Let us talk this out.
Let us reason
together. You know, because you're being unreasonable, of course. He says, let's talk about this. I already know your business. I know it. Let's talk about it. Oh, man, we got to bring it to him. Sometimes we don't want to bring it to him, but we want to be sincere with God and open with God so you can talk about these things with God. Your lesson says we can deceive ourselves with our own performance or forget we're in his presence when we pray. Oh, man, that's from the book. We can deceive ourselves with our own performance before God, I'm telling you, and forget we're in his presence. We can easily make prayer about ourselves and forget the most significant and magnificent person in our prayer is our Lord. Amen. He's the important person in our prayer. When we are praying, the magnificent person in the prayer time, and we can forget that. We think it's all about us. We can perform in prayer as if we are the star of the show. It's all about me. It's all about me. We perform in prayer like we are the star of the show, and let's just talk about me, you know. When he is the one who's bringing the blessings, the solutions, and the resolve to the table of prayer, boy, it's just a mindset that we have. You know, that's what I said. That's why most people won't pray, because they think they're the star of the show, and I'm not ready to pray yet. I got to overcome this, and I'm not ready to talk to God yet. Just like the star of the show in the back in their dressing room. I can't go out yet because I need to put on my hair and makeup, and my hair's not ready. My makeup's not ready, so I can't go out on stage yet. You are not the star of the show here. Yes, it does. We got to get over ourselves, folks. We got to get over ourselves. We're not the star of the show. He's bringing the blessings. He's bringing the solution. He's bringing the resolve to the table of prayer. We're just grateful to be at the table, okay? But he's bringing everything to the table. We can talk and talk in prayer and fail to listen and receive from the Holy Spirit. This is especially true when our emotions are high. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You know, God wants you to come when your emotions are high. But boy, I've heard some when we pray and our emotions are just out there. You know, and God wants you to talk to him. He wants you to tell him. But, you know, again, it becomes a monologue. We want, and sometimes we're coming to God because we need things. We're desperate. Oh, God, you know, I just got an eviction notice and this is happening. They took my car. And we come to God and we want what we want. You know, we feel our justice as we pray, our justice on what we should do. And God, I just ask you to do this, and I ask you to do that, and I ask you to do that. I'm learning to pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, your glory be done in the situation. That's what I'm praying, Lord. Let your glory be done. Lord, the specifics I'm not sure about, but I know that I can pray your glory be done and your kingdom come and your will be done. But we have to get past our own justice as we pray. And sometimes we are so bogged down in our own justice in prayer that we find no reason to hear God's way. You know, that's why we don't stop and listen, because we don't want to hear God's way. We feel like, I've got the answer, God. All I need for you to do is answer the prayer as, you know, line for line as to what I ask for. Okay. You know, and we don't want to hear God's way. We can vent in prayer, you know, and that's okay. As I said, David vented in prayer, you know, but David always you know, even though after he vented, but you know, you can vent in prayer, but always be prepared to listen and receive from the Father, even after you have vented and poured out your heart and tell Lord, they hurt me, they did this, and you can cry and you boohoo before God. But then, oh man, be prepared to listen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 139, where this is so depicted so beautifully in David's prayer. He wrote a Psalm 139 is a prayer. And if you have your Bibles, and I'm going to start at the 19th verse, and it says, and this is David talking, "Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God. Go away from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred." I hate them with perfect and utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. And David's all heated, you know. Oh, someone has said something about God. See, so that's where we feel justified. Oh, they're talking about Jesus. I'm gonna tell y'all off now because you're talking about Jesus now. But then I look at the 23rd verse, and it says, "Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting." Isn't that beautiful? I mean, he started talking about the wicked. Now he's turned the table like, Lord, am I wicked? Am I wicked? I'm talking about hating the wicked. But Lord, am I wicked? Search me. I've vented. I've said all my stuff to you and how much I hate these people. And oh, God, you know, I mean, you hear those strong words. Kill them. Kill the wicked, oh God. How about we have said that? Lord, just kill them, Jesus. Just kill them. I'm just done with them, Lord. They just hurt me for the last time, Jesus. Just kill them. And that's what we think. Even if we don't say it out loud, we think. We're thinking it. Oh, God, can you just kill them? Just let them die. They don't even deserve to live, Lord Jesus. You know. Oh, boy. And there's some of those things going on in the news and in the nation and in the government. Oh, God, just let them die. Just you know. Yeah. Jesus, just get rid of it. Just get rid of them, Lord. So he vented, you know. And I love this because what David is depicting here is what God wants. Come to him with that. Come to him with that anger and that resentment. It's better you say it to God than say it to others. You know, that's how people get riots started and get people all riled up on something that's not even God, you know, and feel justified because I got my justice going on. And notice that David was talking about, they talked about the Lord. I hate those that hate you, Lord. And isn't that the way we feel as Christians? Oh, Lord, they don't even serve you. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord, they talk about your word. They're against your word. Oh, God, Lord, I just hate them. Yeah, do something with them. They're doing this. They're doing all these perversions, Lord, and they're doing this, and they're killing babies. Oh, Jesus, they're killing. Oh, Lord, I hate them. Just kill them all. Just kill them all.
She looks like she's practiced that.
Terry's out me. Terry's exposing me. Terry's exposing me. But I took it to Jesus, Terry. I took it to Jesus. That's why I can come in here on Sunday morning and talk to you all. Said, you know, but after you finish, you got to pray. Lord, do you see any wicked way in me?
Yep, exactly.
Because at that point, when I'm talking like that, oh, what's going on in my heart?
Exactly.
Murder. Murder has entered my heart. You know, and we got to be careful. As I said, God does not need you to defend him using the devil's ways. Amen. Oh, my goodness. What kind of sense does that make? To defend God using the devil's ways. And David, I love this. And I was reading this. I said, oh, my God, here it is. Here it is. And then he makes a turn in verse 23 and he says, search me. I have said all this stuff. Now search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. He even admits he's got anxiety. I'm anxious. I'm upset. I'm agitated. You know, how many times have we been agitated because we heard something? Oh my God, I can't believe. And yes, it should hurt your spirit because of some of the things that go on hurts our spirit. Like, oh God, how can they be so heartless? How can they do this? How can they do this way? But then we have to turn, Lord, touch my heart. Lord, I got to pray for them. Lord, who's praying for them? As I said, that's what the Holy Spirit told me that day. Who's praying? Who's praying? You're talking and you're angry, but who's praying for them? Oh man, see? Nobody. We're just talking and nobody's praying. So I love this about David, how he was just open. He said, I vented and I talked to God, but he talked to God. He communicated with God openly and sincerely. This is what I'm thinking and this is what I'm feeling, Lord, but search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. Oh boy, and as I was writing a note, David was defending God in his hatred of others. Oh, he still needed God's searchlight. You know, so as we do our Christian work, don't think you don't need God's searchlight on how you do it. Mm-hmm. As you do your Christian work and your Christian duty, this is an important and poignant word for all believers. We cannot cast off the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit to defend God. Oh, man. Yeah, God won't be with you on that one. Yeah. He'll tell you to turn around. Oh, wait a minute. What are you doing? You know, what's going on in your heart? This is not me. This is not my way. You know, folks, I'm telling you, we have to acknowledge that we were born in sin. We were raised in sin. We are born, and we've got so much that we have, so many weights. We're still the weights that so easily beset us, the scripture says. We got weights we got to take off of us. And as believers, we got to know that. That's why we keep praying. That's why we keep growing. That's why we keep studying the word of God, because we need to grow up. You know, some of us are still babies in Jesus and not really understanding. Because babies, if you think about the kid, a child defending their dad, somebody talk about their dad. You can't talk about my dad that way. Come home all beat up and all clothes all torn. What is it? They said something about you, daddy. You know, and their father's like, you know, you didn't have to do that, son. I can take care of myself, you know. So anyway, we want to stay in the Holy Spirit, even as we face so many different things in the world. The next point in your lesson is John in the book of Revelation was awestruck by the presence of Christ as he wrote. And again, this is again understanding the awesomeness of Christ and how wonderful he is. And it says, in his head, as it were white like wool, glistening white like snow, and his all-seeing eyes were flashing like a flame of fire, piercing into my being. His feet were like burnished white-hot bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was powerful like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword of judgment, and his face, reflecting his majesty and the Shekinah glory, was like the sun shining in all its power at midday. Hallelujah. Oh, and I love this part. He's describing what he's seeing, and then he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. See, this is the person whose presence you're coming into. Oh boy, and when he said, I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the absolute deity, the Son of God, and the ever-living one, living in and beyond all time and space. Oh, I love that. And that's Revelation 1, 14 through 18 in the Amplified. Your lesson says, when John saw him, he fell at his feet like a dead man. Wow. See, we don't even know whose presence we're coming into. You know, we come in casually. You know, and casually, I'm not talking about how you're dressed. I'm talking about casual heart. Okay, because most of us early in the morning, we're praying in our pajamas, aren't we? Yep. God doesn't care. God is like looking at your heart. Are you coming in your casual heart? you know, before Jesus, who he's describing, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. He fell at his feet like a dead man. Your lesson says his immediate reflex was awestruck worship. It was also fear and silence. Remember, he said, I fell like a dead man. You come into the presence of God, and man, he was silent. I said, he says, you can imagine his mindset. I have nothing to say in the presence of this Almighty. He knows everything. He even records it. His all-seeing eye. He already knows me. What do I have to say to him? I have nothing to say but to bow and be quiet and let him speak and say what he needs to say to me.
Right.
See, that's when we understand the presence. And as I said, next week we're going to go and talk about the presence of God. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. And I love that about him too, that even though we're fearful and we're silent, Jesus will say, do not be afraid. Even though Jesus placed his hand on John and said, do not be afraid, the fact remained and remains that he is no less majestic and jaw-dropping. And that's from our book. Boy, he'll put his hand on your shoulder and says, don't be afraid. I love you. I've got you. But it doesn't make him less majestic. Oh, man. I mean, sometimes I just think about God. How do you tolerate our disrespect? How do you tolerate as awesome and amazing as you are, even from your own people, we're disrespectful of who he is? Oh, man. And it's because that hand on the shoulder. Don't be afraid. I got you. Don't be afraid. I love you. I know we're so different. I know, but I'll bring you along. I know, but I'm going to bring you into my family. Oh, I'm not worthy to be a part of your family. Me, Lord. Yes, that's what he did. That hand on the shoulder. Don't be afraid. I made it so that you can be a part of my family. Oh, man. That makes him even more greater to me. Oh, wow. So this scene describes what our attitude should be in prayer, what our realization should be in prayer. We are before the Almighty in prayer. Oh, man, we don't deserve it, but he gives us audience with him. And we've got to know that. Oh, boy, my prayer is like, I want to be like that guy in that book, Praying High, they used to call him. I said, Lord, I want to come into a room and just put my knees, my hands together, fall on my knees, and whew, your presence comes because I have focused on you. So, oh boy, so I'm getting excited. I'm excited about this, guys. So that's where we're going. Any comments, any questions from anybody? Rose,
I'm going to tell you, get you up. Talking about, you know, the world and what's going on in our world right now is just, you know, we cannot be caught in a trap.
Yes.
Of your Democrat, your Republican, whatever. Because either one, you know, they always say, oh, well, he's doing things bad. And you cannot get caught in that trap. That's the trap of the devil.
Yes.
So that's what we're just trying to do is pray for all those people.
Exactly.
You know, who's not.
Exactly.
You know, lost soul. You know,
amen.
Lost soul.
Yes.
Definitely lost soul.
Yes.
And that's what we need to stand up and be a Christian-like, and have to love people and pray for them.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Because as far as I know, Democrat or a Republican is not in the Bible. All it talks about are lost souls.
Yes.
And so let's not be trapped, as Rose said, get caught up in parties and all of this stuff. Folks, let's pray for the lost all over the world. Even nations are not... Lost souls. We're not separated by lines and borders, you know, in our, when it comes to the body of Christ. Pray for everybody. The devil's at work. Yes, absolutely. Virginia?
And we can't live in fear.
We can't live in fear, yes.
Just like yesterday, I got a notice that there was two threats of shooting in Walmart. One on the north, south side, one on the Dillon.
Gosh.
And they've got police there now.
Wow.
From 2 a.m. until 10 o'clock at night, I think.
Wow. That was yesterday?
They've had, and I said, and police are standing at the doors looking to see if anybody's walking in with things. So, yeah. Wow. So it's come. It's come to
he's
this.
He's here. He's,
yeah. we'll wars in many places. Yeah. As I said, we're thinking about national wars, but boy, I've just heard the Holy Spirit was saying wars. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't call these are wars.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, in many places.
This is just a copycat. You know, I hope that it's just a copycat.
Yeah.
You know, because, but again, Walmart is, you know.
You don't think about it.
Universal.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Walmarts everywhere.
Yeah.
And it seemed like that they hit the Walmart store, and so they came out with this. But just to be cautious.
Wars and many.
Because if you see something, say something. Don't just say, oh, that couldn't be. Even the little tiniest thing, they say, see, if you see something, you say something.
Yes.
You know, a comment, say something.
Yes. You know, so. I'm telling you. And as I said, folks, it's just fulfillment of the scripture, the wars in many places, wars at Walmart, wars at restaurants, wars at our schools, you know, wars. And I mean, just
your armor every day before you leave the house.
Yes. Yes.
They didn't say anything about the Pueblo West store, but they said there was an alarm at the Southside store as well as the building. So Pueblo West is okay.
I'm still praying for the South Side. yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not
afraid.
Yeah,
because you work there. Yeah.
Because I'm not going to make me afraid.
You have to look around.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to make me afraid.
Yes, yes. And you know what? You know what, Virginia? Somebody's got to be in there praying.
That's right.
Yeah.
So even the alertness, if we really trust him, we can rise above and he'll make us alert to what we need to be alert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Protect. If we're in there with that.
You're
power,
so right. You're so right. And, yes.
You know, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I've got a shield.
Yes.
You know, you can only come so far and you can't come any further.
But I like the point you're making. When you have relationship, God will make you aware of what you're walking into.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and even if you're walking in to pray, you might be walking in to pray, you know, but God will make you aware and sensitive.
Yeah.
And that's why we got to be sober, you know, because that's another prayer makes you sober.
Yeah.
And when you walk into places, everybody else may be doing, be distracted, but you're looking around, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Yeah.
What's happening in the room?
Amen.
You know, because you don't know who's walking in with the alert on what's happening. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else have a comment? You ladies. Anybody else?
I don't have a comment on today, but I'm wondering how is the potluck?
Oh, how was the potluck?
I missed it.
You missed it, and we had good food. We had ribs. You know, we had, what did we have? We had cornbread salad. Because Terry was in the house, so we had cornbread salad. We had a lot of good food. Consuela, we'll catch you next time. But we missed your cranberry relish. I just want you to know that. Yes, okay. Yes. I forced my vacation videos on them. So we saw Niagara Falls.
Yeah,
I showed our Niagara Falls. They saw
Niagara Falls. I saw it. Your little rain bonnet.
We were on that boat.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of prayer, Lord God. We thank you that we can come into your presence, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you shed your blood, that we can go behind the veil, Lord God. Oh, Father, we can come instantly into your presence, Lord, and find help in the time of need. And not just find help, Lord God, we can find relationship, Lord God. Your word says that people, you're a friend that sits closer than a brother, Lord God. And we're just beginning to understand what that means, that you really are there for us every single time to comfort us, Lord, even when our feelings are hurt, Lord, even when our emotions are high, Lord God, you don't leave us, Lord God. You don't reject us, Lord God, when we're emotional, Lord God, but you listen to every cry of our heart, Lord God. Oh, Father, you let us vent before you. Will you let us pour out what's going on in our heart, Lord God? And then you come and you put your heart, your hand on our shoulder. Oh, God, and you minister to us and you talk to us, Lord, and you love us, Lord, and you bring us back to you, Lord God. And you teach us how to love again and how to hope again, Lord God. You envelop us with your joy, Lord God, and we are changed and we are not the same, Lord. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this. We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of prayer. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would grow every relationship in this room, Lord, even as we heard, oh, Lord, our lesson today, Lord, grow relationship, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we're not praying about things and stuff, Lord. We're praying about relationship. Oh, Lord, that we would talk to you, Lord God, that we would open our hearts, Lord God, that we would come to the table ready to open our hearts and to let you speak to us, Lord God, that we would come reverently, we would come openly, and we would come sincerely, Lord God. Oh, Father, let us not come with excuses, oh, Lord, for our behavior, and excuses, Lord, for why we do what we do, but let us come openly, oh, Lord, asking for forgiveness. Let us come with a repentant heart. Oh, Lord, we pray for the cloak of humility to be upon us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that we would be like our Savior. Oh, Lord, who humbled himself unto death, and even in the death of the humiliating death of the cross, he humbled himself. Oh, Lord, let us do the same. Oh, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and we continue to expect you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.